homecoming. Welcome into Camel Call Live, brought to you by the Fighting Camel Club. We are coming to you live from Napper Tandy's Public House and Restaurant in downtown Anger, our new home. Happy homecoming. I'm Chris Amier. We have a great show for you tonight. Head football coach Braxton Harris is here as we are getting set for three of the final five games of the season. We'll be right here at home, including the homecoming game that's coming up this Saturday at 4 versus NC A&T. And believe it or not, folks, we are just 11 days away from basketball. Basketball will be back in Buies Creek. The season begins with the men's women's doubleheader on November 4th. And to get us revved up for the season, our head women's basketball coach Ronnie Fisher will be here for the last half hour of the show. Also, a ticket giveaway for an upcoming Campbell football game. And speaking of football, Braxton Harris is here alongside. And coach, a month is a long time when it comes to the football season. Since we last talked, you've had a win, a bye week, and last week you went toe-to-toe with the number 15th ranked team in the country at William & Mary. You fell 35-28, but what a battle it was for you and your team in Williamsburg.
Yeah, you know, a month is an eternity in the game of football. A lot changes in that amount of time, and we've had a lot of growth in that time in the last 4 weeks and seen a lot of that growth out of our young men. We want to be able to continue to be able to push forward that. You know, I was really proud of how they handled the bye week, obviously coming off the Central loss. Everybody in our organization was disappointed with that performance that we put out there. And then they came back and they went to work in that bye week. We got a lot of really good things out of the bye week as far as fundamentals. But then we also got to get out and start recruiting and be able to kind of spread the message of Campbell football to our footprint into Virginia, into North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. And so that was exciting to be able to see. And then they came back against William & Mary, and, you know, we have a ton of respect for William & Mary. We want William & Mary and Campbell, when those two play, that we want that to be a really big ball game for years to come. And we're really excited about what they were able to go compete toe-to-toe. We just made too many mistakes to beat a good football team. And Coach London's in year six there, and the program that they've built, we want to be like that in that piece. And so great for us to be able to compare where we're at in year one versus where William & Mary is. And so that's the great thing about the CAA. You don't have to wonder where you fit in. You get to go play football on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so many bright spots from that game. Again, losing by 7 points to the 15th ranked team in the country. But offensively, Chad Masco, he was 30 for 39 through the air, 320 yards passing, 4 TDs. Coming into that game, Coach, William & Mary was one of the best pass defenses in the entire nation. They were in the top 10 in pass defense. How impressed are you of what your offense did through the air?
Yeah, you know, I thought our offense did a really good job executing. I thought our offensive coaching staff did a great job. Matt Kubik did a great job of getting those guys ready to play. I also think it shows Chad's growth. Like, that's start number 7 for him, right, in his career. And you're able to see him perform in that big environment in a big arena right there, and he was able to make plays. I think it also shows you the versatility and the number of weapons that we do have on our offensive side of the ball. You saw Randall King, who's a young freshman from Northern Nash County right up the road. I think he had 8 catches in that ball game, and it was kind of a coming-out party for him in that spot, and he did a great job. And so you're talking about a freshman, you're talking about a sophomore, and talking about a junior, and it's really exciting to see what that continues to grow to.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because there were 4 receivers that had 6 catches at least, including that true freshman. You talk about going and recruiting. A lot of people don't know this, but one of the first things you did your first month here on the job is you and your coaches went to pretty much every high school in the entire area. You went all over North Carolina, and boy, Rocky Mount right up the road. He is a true freshman. You told me, you watch, he's going to be special by the middle of the year. He'll do it, and he certainly did.
Yeah, you know, he just keeps getting better every day, and he's a kid that he's a small-town kid, and I think in today's environment, we don't look at those kids the way that we used to, right? Used to, everybody played. You played football, you played basketball, you run track, you do all those things. And he's one of those small-town kids that has competed his whole high school career, and he just goes from sport to compete. My first experience around him is I went and watched him play basketball. And So we're in a small gym and up there and watching him play. And he was the best player on the basketball court, you know, dunking a basketball, doing those things. And so I love that type of kid, because I think that type of kid fits Campbell. I think he's excited to be here. He sees this as an opportunity. He's close to home. Family can come watch him play. But then he can develop. The thing about a kid like that you don't realize is – What happens when he just gets to focus on football and he gets to train his body in the offseason to be able to go be a great receiver in that spot?
Yeah, he is 6'2", long and fast as all get out. And as you said, he was in a basketball all-star game this summer and scored 36 points. I mean, that just tells you the kind of athlete he is.
And here's the story about that. That was a week before fall camp. He did not tell us that he was playing in that basketball tournament.
I wasn't going to bring that up.
And he told us he was going to tell us if he was the MVP, but if he wasn't the MVP, he wasn't going to tell us. But, you know, I love that kid. You know, I grew up in a small town in Texas that you played all your sports, and your best athletes played, and you competed. And one of the things that you get when you compete year-round is you get the competition, right? When you specialize and just do one sport, you only compete for 12 times a year in that piece. That kid's competed 60, 70 times a year in that piece. And so I think there's some opportunities. Like, he goes into a William and Mary environment, and he's competed so much that he just does what he's trained to do, and he goes and competes.
You know, I obviously interview tons of coaches in that, and I think you are one of those that would agree with me. When I have parents come up to me and or friends and say, hey, you know, how can you get someone to Division I? Number one, I'm like, you shouldn't think that way. But number two, don't limit them to just one sport they're young. When you talk to coaches, they love the kids that have played so many different sports.
100%. You know, we want kids that are versatile and that are athletic and be able to play different sports because they move differently in those spots. And so that's the exciting thing about him. And his future is really, really bright right here.
Another one of the homegrown talent that you have, a little older, but he didn't come in and make the impact of a Randall King. He was somebody that you recruited in V.J. Wilkins.
Yeah.
He redshirted. Last year, when you weren't here with the program, he exploded. He came back, and he had another great game. Two touchdowns, including, I mean, you want to talk about a highlight reel, and you want to talk about some football knowledge. This is a kid that made a great catch off a great pass and then had the wherewithal to dive. He was going to be out at the five, but he dove, got that nose of the football on the pylon. There's this photo at GoCamels.com that has him like this. Just sensational what he has become. Again, another guy that was overlooked out of high school. You guys didn't overlook him, and now he's a star in this league.
Yeah, one thing about that play in particular and kind of hitting on VJ, two plays later, we missed that same pass to him, and it dropped in that piece, right? And we came back, and Coach Kubik and Chad went back to the exact same play, and he goes and makes it. And I think that's part of the development of growth of this football team to be able to see that. But one thing Camel fans need to see about a VJ Wilkins and see about this team as a whole, VJ was in the transfer portal when I got the job.
Yep.
Right? VJ believed in the vision that we're trying to be able to build here. He believed in Campbell, and he came back to Campbell in that spot. And so right now we're sitting as a football team, and we're a 2-5 football team. Nobody wants to be 2-5. I think we've had the toughest schedule in the country, and we can talk about that all you want to talk. But we got young men that are going to go out on that football field this Saturday that are proud to be at Campbell. They chose Campbell, and they're continuing to be able to put a product on the field to be able to go compete. And they want to make sure that this university sees that they're proud to be a Campbell, and we hope this university is going to be proud of those young men.
Yeah, no doubt. You mentioned the schedule, so let's say that because I don't know. Yeah. You know, an opponent comes, you take it one game at a time or whatever. Liberty, they're FBS and doing what they did basically last year. Of course, a top 20 ranked team. You beat on the road Western Carolina.
Yep.
Rhode Island, one of two undefeated teams in the CAA, they're ranked.
Yep.
Stony Brook, in the top half of the conference, they're ranked.
Yep.
NC Central, they're ranked.
Yep.
William & Mary, who you just lost to, they're ranked. Yep. I don't think there's a team on this schedule who you've lost to that isn't ranked right now.
Well, I mean, you look at it holistically, we've played 7 football games, and out of those 7, 6 of those have been ranked football teams one way or the other in that piece.
Yep.
And so that's the CAA. That's this league. That's where we're at in that spot. It's not a whole lot of fun to be year one of building a program with that schedule. I love that our kids are willing to go toe-to-toe right there each and every Saturday against these guys. We're going to find a way to get over the hump, right, if you will, in that piece. And when we do, I think we're right there really close to these guys, and it's exciting. You know, to be in an environment of William & Mary, you're talking about a top 15 team. It's on homecoming. It's a packed house. And we're right there toe-to-toe with those guys in year one. And those kids, the thing about I love about our kids, they love the competition. You know, they love to be in the arena in that spot. And I love that they get excited about those things. And so we appreciate the battle. We want to win. But we got a group of guys that also appreciate the battle.
Well, yeah, and 2 years ago when you went up to William and Mary, that was not a close game in the fourth quarter. It was a tie game this year in the fourth quarter, which I think says so much as well here in year one of the program. Hey, wide receiver Sincere Brown, it's tough to have a quiet 80-yard, one-touchdown game, but he did it. But Sincere Brown now, you look at what he has done. 15th in the country in receiving yards, over 600. Top 10 in the country in TDs with six. Top 30 in receptions per game. He is on the top of everyone's scouting report list now. Yep. He has been since game one, and he's still getting his.
Yeah, I mean, and here's the thing is, like, we saw him make those plays on Saturday, and everybody sees him make those plays on Saturday. Come watch Tuesday practice because he still makes the plays on Tuesday. He practices like he plays in that piece. And when you're building a program, you got to be able to have guys, you got to be able to say, look right there, that's what it looks like, right? Well, Sincere gives us the opportunity on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, on a Thursday, on a Friday to say, that's what it looks like. And then those young guys like a Randall King is able to see what does it look like, how to go be a Division I receiver. And then to me, that's part of Randall's development is he's gotten to watch Sincere do it. Our receivers aren't the prima donna receivers that just do this and do this. Man, they work their tails off every day of the week. And that's the exciting thing is they're doing everything right in those spots. And so, you know, as Campbell fans, as you watch this team and you see those guys and you see them on Saturday, they're also the guys that are doing it every day of the week. And, you know, Harnett County and here at Campbell, we're blue-collar people. We believe in hard work, and we believe that you put your nose down and you go to work. And that's exactly what our kids are, and that's exactly what those three guys are.
Well, speaking, you led right into my next thought and my next question here. You're starting running back, Mark Biggins. He broke his hand last month.
Right.
He hasn't played. Others have stepped up in that running back room, including, speaking of Harnett County, J.J. Cowan. What a story he is from right down the road, and Irwin Kidd, who went to Triton High School.
Absolutely. J.J.'s done a great job. You know, J.J. was one of those guys that he was the very first, one of the very first conversations I had when I was here at Campbell. We went over to see him at his school. He comes in with a smile on his face every day, does a great job for us. He's just happy to be here in that piece, right? And so, you know, with him being right down the road, you know, he's got a following every week that come to see him.
Yes, he does.
And, you know, we want homegrown. We want the best in Harnett County. We want them to stay right here and play at Campbell. We want them to see that opportunity that they have here at Campbell.
Yeah, and he certainly is making the most of this opportunity. We were in your office the other day talking about this team, and we'll talk a little bit about the injuries, but the injuries have and even haven't crafted this team when you think about you have guys that, look, you're playing true freshmen out there.
Yep.
They're young. You're playing redshirt freshmen. You know that. But you're also playing guys, your upperclassmen are guys that haven't started that much.
That's right.
You have a team that just doesn't have a lot of starts under their belt.
Yeah, I mean, the other day on the bye week, we stopped and looked at it, and of our travel roster, we usually travel about 65, 68 kids. 23 out of those numbers, they've only been in Buies Creek 3 months. They're still trying to figure out where Walmart is, let alone who's playing beside them in those piece. And so the exciting thing is those kids are staying in the fight. They believe in where they're at. The opportunity to grow, the opportunity to get better is so exciting. Nobody likes the process. Everybody wants the process to happen right now. I want it to happen. Our kids are desperately want it to happen in those spots. But one of the things that's really encouraging is look what this team can grow to these last 5 weeks, how they can get better. They're doubling their starts. They're doubling their experiences. They have the confidence that they've gone and won at the end. They've had the confidence to go toe-to-toe with top 25 teams. They're going to continue to be able to do those things.
Absolutely. You know, you go to the defensive side of things. When we talked early in the season, you said, you know, we're not deep at a lot of places. We are deep at linebacker, of course. That is something dear to your heart. You're a linebacker coach, and you've needed it. You lost Jonathan Melvin, who was a fantastic transfer for the season. C.J. Tillman, who has been just sensational. He is the all-CAA player, has been from then. He's out for the season. But then Jalen Brooks steps in, the North Carolina transfer. Mom and Dad went to Campbell. And after collecting 19 tackles and 3 stops for loss at William & Mary, he is a stats performer, FCS National Defensive Player of this entire week. And that has to make you feel bad that you're without some good guys, but next man up gets it done for you.
Yeah, next time I say I'm deep at a position, please just slap me, kick me, do whatever, make me not say that, right? Because we've gotten to test that to the extreme in that piece. You cannot measure losing a guy like Jonathan Melvin, what he brought to our football team, what he continues to bring. C.J. Tillman, you guys have watched C.J. play for years and how he plays the game. He's one of the best as far as how hard and how passionate he plays the game. But, you know, we're very pleased with the guys that have stepped up. You know, JB had a great week this past week. He continues to be able to do that. You know, again, you talk about all the stories on this football team. Why should you be excited about this football team? That's a legacy kid, right? Yep. That's a Campbell legacy kid. When you see his dad, I mean, I talked to them last week, and he said, "Coach, I'm so excited about coming back for homecoming."
Yeah.
Right? Like, we're being able to connect those people, and that's why. And then being able to see them perform at that level. And JB's gotten that opportunity, and he's wanted that opportunity. Now he's got it, and he's gotten the snaps. And, man, he's performed in that spot. But note to self, don't ever say we're deep at a position, because it's kind of like praying for patience. You don't ever want to pray for patience, because God will give you plenty of times and plenty of opportunities to test it out. So, shame on me,
yeah,
right?
Nope. I think I'm going to use that. You know, speaking of Jalen Brooks, his dad, Jerry, not only a Campbell alum, not only a Campbell wrestler, he will be inducted into the Campbell Hall of Fame coming up in January. His mom went to Campbell as well. They are Campbell Athletics royalty and just sensational. You needed Jalen Brooks to do everything that he did, and he came up with 19 tackles. You know, we have a lot to get to tonight, but if you're listening to us live on the Varsity Sports app or GoCamels.com, get down here. The mascots are here, both of them. We got Gaylord and Gladys. Cheerleaders are here. We're going to give away some tickets tonight. We'll be here until 7:30. We'll be right back. You're listening to Camel Call Live, presented by the Fighting Camel Club from Nefertiti's in downtown Andrew. Oh, welcome back to Camel Call Live. We are presented by the Fighting Camel Club, and three final home games coming up this year. All of our games with family-friendly times, and again this year, kids 12 and under are in for free. Of course, the homecoming game coming up this Saturday at 4 o'clock. Then Campbell goes on the road at Elon. They'll be back home November 9th versus top 20-ranked Richmond, on the road at Delaware, and then the final game of the season, November 23rd, Saturday, against Towson. All the information, all the tickets, go camels.com. Welcome back into Camel Call Live. Ronnie Fisher, the Campbell head women's basketball coach, will talk some round ball for us coming up in the next segment of the show, but we are still hanging out with Campbell head football coach Braxton Harris. Homecoming. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Not only is he the head women's basketball coach, he's also the mayor of Buies Creek.
That is also true.
If anybody needs anything, it's Ronnie Fisher's got the answer for it. And if Ronnie can't help you, you don't need help finding it right there.
That's right. Believe it or not, you're number 9 for Ronnie Fisher. Homecoming's going to be a whole lot of fun. We've got a wall-to-wall party going on in Buies Creek on Saturday. The alumni block party, which will be right across from the student union, something new that they're doing, kind of a breakfast brunch thing. A lot of fun will be there from 10 to 12. The parade's at 12. After the parade in downtown Buies Creek, Pepsi Tailgate Town opens. There'll be a live band in Pepsi Tailgate Town starting at 1. The wrestling orange and black wrestle-off will be in Tailgate Town right there in front of the football stadium at 2, and then kickoff at 4 p.m. NC A&T is the opponent. This is a CAA game. This is quickly becoming a rivalry between these two teams. What can you tell us about the Aggies this year, Coach?
Yeah, you know, they're a good football team. You know, their record doesn't tell you everything you need to know about them in that piece. You know, they're year two of Coach Brown's tenure there, and they're trying to get things going in that piece. This is a big game for them, just like for us. You're playing in-state teams. To be able to move the needle and move your program, you got to win in-state games in that spot. And so they're gonna be coming in, and this is a big ball game circled on their schedule, just like it's a big ball game circled on our schedule in that piece. And we're going to have to get to an early start in this piece.
What do you want to see from your guys coming up maybe this weekend that you didn't see last weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I sound like a broken record, and y'all are probably tired of hearing it. We got to start fast, you know. Again, we got ourselves kind of in the mud is kind of what we talk about. If we can't get ourselves in the mud, we do a great job of getting out of the mud. It's just stay out of it, right? And we got to be able to start fast, and we got to be able to get up in the first quarter, get ahead against them in those pieces, and we haven't been able to do that up until this point. That's something we talk about. We rep every single day. We've changed how we practice. We do some different things to start practice that we didn't do at the beginning of the year to try to get our minds going back to that and train to start fast. And so we've got to be able to do those things. I think it's going to come down to explosive plays. We've got to be explosive. When our offense is really going, we're explosive, both in the run game and then the pass game. And then when we got to make them drive and go down the field, the length of the field in this piece. And we can't give up explosives on the defensive side. And I think that's where a big piece of the ball game, if you're watching it on a Saturday, if the Camels are getting in explosives and we're making them drive the ball 10 plays, we're going to be all right in those spots. And that's what I think it's going to come down to.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned this is a conference opponent, but this is an opponent in your own state.
That's right.
There are so many fantastic reasons why Campbell moved from the Big South to the CAA, and then people may focus on, well, you have to get on a plane and go to Rhode Island or whatever, but we have a couple of football teams in Elon and NCANT who you will be playing week in and week out that you can come to the home game at NCANT. You can go just an hour up in the road and see Campbell at Elon. These are two opponents that are going to be on the schedule every single year, and it's fun because your neighbors up the road, you're recruiting against them, playing against them. NCANT and Elon, they're a couple of teams that we're going to see a lot.
Well, you know, that's what the CAA gives you. Everybody looks at the broad scope, but they don't always see the small picture of that piece. You know, you're going to always play A&T. You're always going to play Elon. You're always going to play Hampton after this year. Those are three that we're always going to play. And then you add a William and Mary in those piece. I mean, there's four games that are within 3 hours that you can be able to go and be able to drive to and then drive home to watch. That those are going to be on your schedule every single year in those spots. And so that's the fun thing about the CAA. You know, to your point, everybody always sees the Delaware and the Rhode Island piece of it, and those are kind of outliers more than they are the norm in the CAA for us in that spot. And so I love it because you have regional rivalries, which I think make college football different.
Yeah, and you want to talk about some parity in this league and how good and how good this league is. There's only two undefeated teams left in the CAA. That tells you a little bit because, you know what, there's five, I think, in the latest one, five teams that are ranked from the CAA, others receiving votes. It is just such a good league that every single week, if you're not playing a ranked team, you're playing a team that maybe have been ranked or, oh, by the way, won a national championship 5 years ago. It's just amazing week in and week out what you face in the CAA.
Well, and then, like we were talking earlier in that spot, Delaware is a team that if Delaware was eligible to be ranked because they're transitioning to FBS, they're not ranked. I mean, you look at our schedule right now, we've had, I mean, six out of the seven have been ranked teams. And then if you're talking about you're adding a Richmond down the road and adding a Delaware down the road, you're talking about 8 out of your 12 right now are predicted to be top, ranked teams in that spot. And so, man, it's a lot of fun because you're playing really good football teams. And the exciting thing for me is why I wanted to be here and I wanted to compete in the CAA, because if we can win at the CAA, which I think everybody that's watched this team play over the last couple months thinks that we can, if you can win in the CAA, you can win big. And you're talking about playoff wins in that spot. You go to some other conferences, and people in Campbell, people need to realize that we're so thankful to be in the CAA. We don't need to be in a one bid league conference. There's a ton of one bid league conferences out there that if you don't win it, you go home and you don't get an opportunity to compete because your schedule's not strong. This is a 3-4 league bid every year playoff team. And so, yes, there's a lot of scrutiny that goes over conference realignment, and some people it's new to different people. But to see the positives, we ain't in a one-horse town, right? Like, this is not a one-league team right here. You're going to have an opportunity in the next 2 to 3 years. We're going to get in the playoffs here because we're in a league that we can go compete, and we've shown that we're able to compete. And the fun thing is, man, when we host a playoff game at Barker Lane, man, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Man, you mentioned that, and you mentioned the fact that 3 or 4 year in and year out, but this is a place where 5, 6, 1 year, the CAA had 6 teams, 1 automatic bid, mind you, and 5 got in. Hey, so speaking of Buies Creek, what it would be like for a playoff game, you've been a part of homecoming before.
Absolutely.
I tell everyone, if you think you know Campbell, if you don't know Campbell, come during homecoming weekend because Buies Creek gets full now, and that stadium gets full, and it really gives you – it's what Southern football – at a place like Campbell is. Yep. Homecoming is the best, and I can't wait till this Saturday. I know you can't either.
Absolutely. You know, those are things that make Campbell special. Like, we got Gaylord and Gladys here. Well, they were at Buies Creek Elementary today for a fall festival in SB, right? And so the cool thing about homecoming is Campbell and Harnett County are one and the same in that piece. And so it's really neat to be able to see people come back. We talked today to our young men. Our young men are so blessed that they have the opportunity to receive scholarships to play Division I college football, right? And that our job is to make sure that the alumni, that the fans, that the base see young men that are grateful for what they have and the opportunity that they have. And so we're so excited that there's going to be a lot of people that this is their first time to watch a Campbell football game. Fun fact, Zach Netto is coming back this weekend yep. for the Winter World Series, and he's going to come talk to our team on Friday. And Zach, I talked to him. He said, Coach, this will be my first Campbell football game on Saturday. And so, you know, we get an opportunity to showcase Campbell yeah. football to somebody for the first time, and that's exciting because we believe that when they do those things, they're going to catch fire, and then we're going to continue to build that. But homecoming is a big day. It's a big day for our kids. Our kids want to make sure that the people that come back and the alumni, the fans, the friends that they come back, that they see a football team that they're proud of in that spot.
Just amazing. You've had a relationship with Zach Netto before he was the starting shortstop for the Los Angeles Angels and one of the best young players in baseball. Ryan Thompson, who now has spent a half decade in the major leagues, relief pitcher for Arizona. He's going to be back this weekend too, and that says a lot about you, but also about him, that he's a young guy. He is all everything at yep. MLB, he's going to come and talk to you guys.
Well, the thing about Zach that I watched is when I watched him play here at Campbell, is Zach was the best player on the field, and he was the best person on the field, right? He was the guy that would talk to the kids all the time in those spots. I remember I had to do a class check when I was an assistant here, and Zach was in that class, and Zach was on time. He'd keep his head down. He just meek, mild, and he just yeah. did his thing right there. And so, you know, when the best players are your best people, you got something special. And that's something yep. that, you know, I learned from being able to do that, and we're trying to duplicate that within our program. But I think that's what Campbell's about. We need to celebrate people that are great Camels, that have done a great job, that are continuing to be able to do that. It doesn't matter what sport it is. We got an opportunity to have, you know, the orange and black wrestle off, which is a great opportunity. And Coach Sendez moving it over to the tailgate in that yeah. spot. I think seeing all those things come together, that's who Campbell is. Doesn't mean things are always easy. Doesn't mean things are always going to go smoothly. But the thing about this community and these people is that we're going to band together, and we're going to find a way to continue to advance Campbell and to be able to make it the best that it can be. And we know that the future is really bright here at Campbell.
The future is bright, and so are you. Thank you so much, Coach Braxton Harris. His Camels back on the field. At home, homecoming, 4 o'clock against NC&T this Saturday. Coach, thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Sounds good. See you Saturday.
All right, coming up after the break, we're going to talk basketball as Campbell basketball tips off in a week and a half. We'll have women's basketball coach Ronnie Fisher. That's coming up after the break. This is Campbell Call Live from the Napper Tandies in downtown Andrew. Hey, welcome back to Campbell Call Live from Napper Tandies in downtown Andrew, just about 10 minutes away from Barker Lane Stadium, Gore Arena, and the Campbell campus. Hey, we've got a really cool thing happening in just about a month, the Orange Tie Gala. It is now a fall event. This will be the second annual event. We want you to enjoy dinner, drinks, and a one-of-a-kind silent and a live auction this year. Auctioning away one-of-a-kind items and experiences, the Orange Tie Gala. It really celebrates the achievements in Campbell athletics, both on and off the field of competition, while providing sport for student-athlete scholarships. For tickets, head to GoCampbells.com and hit the Orange Tie Gala button that is at the top of the page. A lot going on. We will have soccer this Sunday, last home game of the year for the women's soccer team as they will take on Charleston in a pivotal matchup that will take place 1 o'clock on Sunday. Our wrestling team begins the season on Halloween. They will be on UFC Fight Pass as they go all the way to Wyoming to wrestle in that barn again, as it should be fun. Men's soccer home for the final time this last week. And then, believe it or not, folks, a week from this Monday, just 11 days away, we will have basketball back in Buies Creek. And joining me now in his ninth year as Campbell women's basketball head coach, he has amassed 152 wins here at Campbell, averaging 19 a season, a conference title, and three Coach of the Year awards. He is Ronnie Fisher. And Coach, this time you're so close but so far away from the beginning of the season. Your thoughts as you get ready for year number nine here at Campbell?
Yeah, well, thank you, Chris. We're just so excited to get going. It's when I came over here, it's a great time of year. Like, listening to Coach Harris talk, I mean, nothing like football this time of year. We got homecoming this weekend. You got all the soccers playing, volleyball. You got World Series.
Yeah.
NBA is starting up, and college basketball is here. So it's a wonderful time of year to be a sports fan. And we've been practicing really hard. We had a scrimmage Sunday, and really looking forward to kicking the season off.
Yeah, Coach, the headline for your team this year, after being so experienced, so veteran for so long, you had some players on your team last year that were here for 6 years, that were here for 5 years, that were here for 4 years. They have moved on. They have gotten their degrees and gone on out of eligibility, and you have some really, really exciting young talent this year.
Yeah, we lost seven seniors last year that really had tremendous careers. With them went about 70% of our scoring, 70% of our rebounding. And we brought in five freshmen, and we have three sophomores. So we've got a really, really young team, the youngest team I've had since I've been at Campbell. But they're a lot of fun to be around, and I love the things they can do. It's the fastest team I've had, and I said the other day they're really fast, but they don't know where they're running right now. So we've got to get that figured out. But I think it's going to be a neat journey, and can't wait to take it with them.
You talk about this team, and you have had some fast teams. As having one of your fastest, when you think about what you can do with that on the defensive end as well as the offensive end, it's got to be exciting.
It is, and that's what we're trying to do right now. We're trying to really establish the how hard we have to play and how we compete on offense and defense. And in the past, we've competed on the defensive end, but maybe not in transition as much. And this year we're going to compete on the defensive end and really compete on offense in transition to try to get some easy baskets and pick up full court and do some things we really haven't been doing in the past few years.
You are young, but you do return some very familiar faces, some good players that are going to anchor this team, and it starts with Gemma Nunez. She played 33 minutes a game, led you guys in assists and steals and minutes, and she's back.
Yeah, she's, you know, as a coach, you want a point guard that's an extension of you on the court, and that's what Gemma is. She knows that I love toughness, and she's one of the toughest kids I've ever coached, and she's an unbelievable defender, and she literally leaves it all on the floor, not just every game, but every practice. I have to slow her down in practice, like, Gemma, it's okay, you know, and that starts our team out, and when your point guard has that mentality, others follow. So she's doing a great job of leading, and she's a warrior, and she can do a lot of things. She handles it. She's got a great assist turnover ratio. She can score, but she really loves running the team and leading the team.
Well, for Ronnie Fisher to say that's the toughest player that he's ever coached, that is something right there. Hey, you want to talk about speed from the land down under? Your Australian Audrey Fuller, one of the fastest players I know you've ever had, to have her back and her skills, that's going to be important this year too.
It is. Audrey is a senior that has played some important minutes, and she's played the point, she's played the wing, and she competes. She competes, and she's extremely fast, like you said. And also this year she's taken on a role of leadership that she hasn't been doing, and she's leading on both ends, and she's shooting the ball well. So, what's cool about it, though, is Audrey, I don't know that she's the fastest player on the team this year.
Wow,
so
really?
So we've got a couple of freshmen that are pretty fast. So it's awesome, and our team speed has increased, and that helps Audrey because Audrey likes getting out and going. And you don't want to be the only one running. So
she's had to play more of a support role with all the stars that you've had on your team over the last couple of years. But I'm telling you what, Gianni Boone, you get the feeling that she's going to explode this year, don't you?
Yeah, I love Gigi, and she's one of the best players, the best one-on-one players getting the ball to the rim that I've had. And she's getting stronger. She's getting more confident. And she needs to take that next step for us to be successful this year. And she's a kid that I think can average 12, 15 points a game. And I think she's accepting that role. And she's worked really hard. She's in better shape. And she's her defense has gotten better, too. So hopefully she'll continue to improve and be ready to go.
I'm going to brag on you a little bit here. And Tristan Ellidge gave me these great nuggets for today. But you talk about defense. And this statistics, folks, will let you know in one sentence how good Ronnie Fisher's defense is. Campbell is the only program in the nation, all of Division I, the Power 5s, the Power 4s, however you want to say it, is the only program in the nation to be ranked in the top 25 in scoring defense in each of the past 8 years. Not South Carolina, not UConn, not Notre Dame. Campbell, the only program in the nation to be ranked in the top 25. It gets better, folks. In the Ronnie Fisher era, Campbell has held 41 opponents to 40 points or less and 103 opponents to 50 points or less. Last season, Campbell's ranked 8th nationally and 1st in the CAA in scoring defense, allowing a measly 55.1 points per game. Coach, in a college basketball game that leans towards scoring, they make the rules so it's easier to score. They move around the three-point line so it's easier to score. How have you been able to create such consistency on the defensive end?
Yeah, well, I think it starts in recruiting, and we've really bought into recruiting kids that are tough, that want to be a team. And I think you can look at teams and you can look at their defense and tell how good a team they are, because you usually don't get your name in the paper because you play good defense.
Yeah.
So you have to be part of something bigger than yourself. And our kids have bought in and realized that in this culture, this is who we are. We're going to defend. And when you defend, it's going to give you a chance to win every night, even if you don't play so well offensively. So the biggest thing, though, is just recruiting solid kids that have a great work ethic and want to serve each other and play their butt off on the defensive end. So every year they amaze me at how hard they've played, and we demanded it, and they've taken it, and the standard is there and set, and we're not going to fall below it. That's our goal. But we haven't had this many young players either. Yep. In the past 8 years. So.
When you have a young team like that, you are a coach that have been doing this for decades now. You've had a lot of success. You know coming in what younger players mean, that transition from high school to college. How do you have to approach things, especially at the beginning here with such a young team?
Yeah, well, we have a meeting on the first day, and we sit around a table, and we talk that every player on our team is an owner. We have no renters on our team, right? So we set our standards that we're going to go by, and we talk about each defensive standard, what's expected. And then from day one, when we step on the court, if the standard's not reached, I kindly let them know about it, right? And not only do I, but the upperclassmen, that's where Audrey and Gigi and Gemma and Courtney and some of our older kids, they understand the standards that are expected, and we've had really good leadership through the years. And we don't – if you're not going hard or you're not doing it the right way, then you're not going to play, or we've got to do something to get your attention. So it's about holding accountability to standards. And the players, I don't know they like it every day, but after they see the results, they take on that personality. And so it's been neat to have that and see it.
Another very great thing about your program, especially in this day and age. Look, I was talking about people that have been in your program for 6 years, for 5 years, for 4 years. That does not happen in Division I college basketball in the transfer portal era. You are able to recruit these kids, improve them, win, and then keep them here. You did not have to go into the portal this year to get any kids. You're one of just six programs that didn't do that. Number one, how have you been able to create an environment and a program where people come, people stay, people get better?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing is Campbell University itself is such an amazing place, and you have the people here and the education. I think that's part of it. But then the next probably biggest thing is our staff. We have an amazing assistant coaches that have been with us and stayed here, and they have a culture our players enjoy being around all of our other coaches. I don't know about me, but they enjoy being around them. And our coaches also, like, we've really done a good job of recruiting kids that fit here.
Yeah.
And I remember I've talked to several coaches on staff here. You know, Campbell is a little different place. You want to make sure you get people that fit here, that want to be here, that want to stay here. And I think we've done a good job of that. And when you recruit like-minded players that become a family, they don't want to leave each other. And I think that's what we've done a good job of. And the culture's been really good in our program, and we've had good leadership. And hopefully we can continue that with our freshmen. We have, like I said, five coming in. We want to see them graduate in 4 or 5 years. So
you talk about having great assistant coaches. Lindsey Bowen, who had been here forever, former WNBA Michigan State Hall of Famer. She has moved on, but you replaced her with a Campbell legend, leading three-point shooter ever. We talk about Shai Tuli because of COVID, because of medical hardship. She was here for 6 years, an amazing career, and you convinced her to come back and be a coach. Boy, what an asset she's going to be as an assistant.
Yeah, I love Shai, and you know, she's awfully young, kind of. She was at Campbell 6 years, right?
Yeah.
But I've never had a player that played on the court and the next year became a coach. But, you know, in my mind, Shai had a six-year job interview.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you what, I've never had a player more loyal, that cared about winning, and came to work every day with a focus, laser focus every day for 6 years.
I mean, that's amazing.
And she came back. She had a season-ending injury her fifth year, and she could have quit basketball, but she came back for a six-year just because she loved Campbell. She loved playing. And you know, she's able to relate with our players and know exactly where they're at, and she also can push you. She pushed her when she was here. She was a great leader in that area. So it's a blessing to have her back. I hate to lose Lindsey. Lindsey did a great job, but Shai's going to be awesome. And then Megan Hall, I think this is year number 19 or 20 for her.
Oh, my gosh, because she was with Wanda Watkins' staff for a long time.
Yeah, that's one of the best decisions I made to keep her when I came here, and she's been a tremendous – assistant and asset, and made her associate head coach as she earned that. And then Lakeisha is a tremendous Lakeisha Gregory is a tremendous coach too. She's been here a couple years now, and she stepped up when Coach Bowen took off. And then we just have a really good staff, and Trevor and Taylor both are amazing in the ops positions, and just solid people that I would want my kids to be around, and I think our players really like them.
You mentioned there Wanda Watkins. We talked about Coach Hall being on the staff. Of course, the floor named after her last year, and you and our AD Hannah Bazemore were the first to behind the charge for that. And then Wanda, tomorrow night, is going to be honored as a distinguished alumni, one of the highest honors you can get at Campbell. It's just amazing how she keeps being a part of this program.
It is, and I'll be there. I have my ticket, and she's meant so much to me. It was such a blessing for her to become an administrator after she finished coaching. She was an amazing coach. I competed against her. She's a tremendous coach, but as an administrator, somebody that I could go to and talk that really knew exactly what I was going through and gave tremendous advice. And if you've ever heard her on a broadcast, she's so awesome. She's so positive, and she loves Campbell, and she's given her heart and soul to this place. So she deserves a ton of awards, and I'm really excited for her tomorrow to get that award, and I look forward to being there.
Yeah, it's exciting. I told her when she said she was going to retire, I said, you know now, you can – I understand if you're retired, if you don't want to come back and do and be the color analyst anymore, I'm like, I'm going to offer you. You tell me what you want to do. And she came to me the other day. She's like, I'm doing all the non-conference games so far, probably all the ones in the conference, but I'll commit to that. So yeah. Wanda Watkins will be back on the broadcast on Flow College, which will be sensational.
That's
and
awesome.
So much fun.
Yep.
Let's take a look at this schedule. Once again, Coach Fisher, you've done what you usually do with your women's basketball team. You test them big time. You will open up against Mount Olive on the season opener on November 4th. Then you go at Western Carolina, your home against High Point, rival, traditional power in the Big South. Then at home against ETSU. That is quite a first couple weeks of basketball.
Yeah, it is. It is. I don't even like thinking about it. We're just worried about tomorrow right now.
That's right.
But we do have our non-conference slate is the hardest we've ever had. You haven't even got to the three ACC teams on there.
I know.
I've got the youngest team and the hardest schedule. But, you know, our league is so good. And I don't know. Hearing Coach Harris talk about football league, I know how good it is. It's so similar to women's basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, we had five teams in postseason this year, and they won. You know, they did very well. And so we have to get ready for that play, and this non-conference schedule is going to be really good. I know you just mentioned we also go down to Georgia State for a MTE. We play three teams in 3 days
yeah.
that are good mid-major teams, and then sure you're getting ready to get to the teeth of the
yeah.
schedule.
Yeah, it's amazing. You talk yeah. about that Thanksgiving tournament. It's Furman, it's Purdue-Fort Wayne, and then it's at Georgia State. You mentioned three ACC teams. At Miami, at Wake Forest, and at Virginia Tech. What is it like for the student-athlete? What is it like to go and play those games against the nation's best?
Our players absolutely love it. Last year we went down to Central Florida, and man, we played well, and we led
yeah.
for
yes, you did.
Literally to the last second, and we got beat by one down there. But our kids love that challenge, and you have to learn to compete at a higher level. And that's what you want as an athlete, is you want to be pushed to be your best. So we're looking forward to those games, and they make us better. And like I said, the end game is being ready for that conference tournament. And we play in a tremendous, you know, in Washington, D.C. in the conference tournament.
Yeah.
We have the same arena the Mystics play in. It's a beautiful arena. And it all points to that, you know, and that's why we have the schedule we have.
In your first year in the CAA, what did you notice about that league? You mentioned how good they were, the six teams in postseason play in that. Well, what did you notice night in and night out in that league?
Yeah, two things. It's a much more physical league than the Big South, tremendously more physical. And from top to bottom, it's their parity is unbelievable. Like last year, there were five teams that made the postseason, and only one of the five were voted in the top four in the preseason rankings.
Wow.
Drexel, I mean, they were one game over 500, and they won the league. And so the parity and top to bottom, it's really good. Every night is like a championship game, and you got to be ready to go.
Coach, we mentioned this when we had lunch last week, the fact that, you know, I look in the mirror, I can see that I've gotten a little older. I'm starting season number 14 here. But when I see coaches, kids who were kids, like your little boy who now is a teenager, I know, man, I've been here for a while, and we've been very thankful and lucky to have coaches like you here for a while. Tell us about what your family's doing right now. You had a big summer.
Yeah, we did. I don't want to hear you talk about getting old. Look at your hair. Look at my hair. I mean, come on, you know. But my wife back there, Julie's in the back here. She's been an amazing wife. We just celebrated our 31st wedding anniversary last
week.
Come
on now. All right.
Yeah, it was. We have three amazing kids. My oldest son, Harrison, he's in grad school at Clemson. He's getting his doctorate there, and he got married this summer. His wife is in grad school with him there. And this past weekend, they were up in Tennessee, watched the Tennessee and Alabama game, so he was loving that orange. and then my daughter, Sydney, she is in Chattanooga. She got married this summer as well. So two of our kids got married, and she's a kindergarten teacher up there and is in her second year, absolutely loves it. And then Jake, our youngest, we had a little 10-year separation there, but Jake will turn 15 next month, and he's doing awesome. Loves playing basketball, and he also is, loves playing guitar.
Yeah,
and he didn't get that from me, either one of them. But we've been blessed. We've got an amazing family, and my wife is. If you ever see the life of a coach's wife. until you really see it, you don't understand.
Yeah.
And she's been the rock in our family, so it's awesome.
Well, an amazing coach, an amazing family. You've had chances to go other places. You've chose to stay here. You've chose to raise your family here. You've chose to embrace this community. Why has Campbell been the place for you?
Yeah, it's first about people, you know. I had a good job before I came here, didn't plan on leaving, but the people here were amazing. And then also the chance to win championships. I'm kind of hopefully not too close to the end, but the second half of my coaching career, I want to go to a place where every year we have a chance to win a championship. And I felt like we had that at Campbell. And we've had a chance to win a couple. And now it's time to win it in another league. But I love the people here and winning. And just also it's a place that just fits me and my wife. And we have a great church, and just we are ingrained in this the fabric of this community and just love it here.
Well, thank you so much, Coach. Thank you for stopping by a busy time of year, and we can't wait to see you guys starting the season in a week and a half.
Thank you, Chris. Hope everybody knows that's a 5:30 start, too. We'd love to have you out there next Monday, a week from Monday.
That's right. Yeah. I was just about to say that. Campbell head women's basketball coach Ronnie Fisher, it's a women's men doubleheader, 5:30, the women tip off the season against Mount Olive. Campbell's men will trail with Pfeiffer 30 minutes after 1. Get you in for both. Season tickets on sale now at GoCamels.com. For Braxton Harris, Ronnie Fisher, I'm Chris Samire saying so long. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for coming out. We will be back here in 2 weeks, two Thursdays, because the fourth Thursday of next month is Thanksgiving. So we'll see you back here at Napper Tandy's in two Thursdays. Happy homecoming, everybody. Good night.